he should be.
Luke 7. Did you do your homework, Gary?
No, I did not have time to do my homework. Oh. But I have an exhortation for you.
An exhortation. Here we go.
You're going to start off like that.
Nurse Ron,
every time you mention time, you think about the context that we're talking about.
Oh, I know exactly what I think about it.
I mean, you talk about it a lot, and it seems like maybe that's what I think about it, and then I bring it up and talk about it.
Well, tell me when that happens.
I'll do it then. I'll ring a bell or something. All right. No, I'm actually fine with the whole thing. I want the freedom to talk about it if I need to. And you're a little intimidating in nature. So.
Well, I mean, we talk about it all the time, but but once you use it
don't tell me I'm using it to justify, because it's not about me. I don't think it's about the concept. That's what Ren and I like to get into. I don't want to be accused of something.
Well, I know we've gone into it many times, and I will say again, the only reason that time exists is because human beings' rebellion. And so there's never a case where time is the passage. That's what redeeming the time for the days are evil means. You redeem the time. How do you redeem it?
Step out.
Right.
Turn away from
it. Right. And so any time that one thinks that time is necessary, then whether you like the words or not, not you, but one is justifying rebellion.
Yeah. That's you. That's real.
That's all I've ever said.
How do you throw in
that? Well, I say you justify rebellion.
Well,
or you say
I.
Well, I say you continue. The words justify sound like you're saying you're. You're going to continue in sin that grace may abound, because you're going to wait for God to show you.
No, well, backing up to what you said before, that is excellent. That is the value in the conversation about time is that people see it, so that they are reminded, I suppose, to take stock of what they're doing. That's why I want freedom. And that's really what I'm fighting for, is freedom. Talk openly about it.
All right. Luke 7, verse 25.
Luke
7, verse 25. I'm sorry. Thank you. But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled live delicately and in king's courts. But what went you out to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. Clothed is just a word that means surrounded with cloth. But soft is an interesting word. It's malakos. And it means soft to the touch or effeminate. And so let's look at it in 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. Excuse me.
Let me back up one second, please. Just because I just remembered John and I's conversation yesterday, is this fight, I think, that goes on is idolatry on my part, and thinking that I have to be in agreement with you on all arenas. And whether that's true or not is not necessarily the point. It's that I serve that idol, and I'm offended when this comes up, and that we can't seem to talk easily about the same point and be in agreement, apparently. And I do have that as an idol within me, that agreement is a big deal to me. And there's nothing wrong with agreement. It's just that when you take it to the level that I've taken it to at times, then it becomes an idol that needs to be crushed.
But I do think there needs to be agreement among the elders.
Well,
on the essence of what we are about, the doctrine into which we've been delivered.
Well, I don't disagree with that. That's part of my problem, is we're not apparently in agreement. I'm not sure we're not. We just seem to fight about that.
Well, again, the only thing that I've ever said is that the only reason time exists is because of his people's rebellion. And that's the only thing I've said for 35 years, but you've taken it personally. Because sometimes I did that.
When there's an accusation, I take it personally. That's why I want to get out of that mode and get into what it is, not...
Well, you agreed just now, and you agreed yesterday at the end of Bible study that we were at the same point. That you must, every man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God.
Yeah.
The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Put off the works of unrighteousness, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And so all those points are the reckoning that we must confess the Lord Jesus, homo logio, say the same thing. In order for us to say the same thing, we have first had to hear the same thing. And what we hear is what we see. And so sometimes you just, it seems like you, to me, it seems like you are wanting to justify the existence of time. And my point is, the only reason for time is because of people's rebellion. And so that's why we get into these things. And we've been doing it for 35 years.
Yes, we have.
But again, it's
and we'll see where we go.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 6. Just one verse. Verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Now the word effeminate there is the word malakos, which translated in the verse we just read earlier in Luke, means soft. Okay?
Say effeminate means soft.
Yeah, that's the word effeminate is translated soft. It's malakos. It's translated soft, in i.e. soft clothing, and the word in what we just studied in Luke 7, and the same word is translated effeminate in Luke 7:25. First Corinthians 6, verse 9.
Okay, the last part of this paragraph, nor abusing himself with mankind. What's that?
Well, it means, I don't know what it means, to tell you the truth.
It's interesting, effeminate, unrighteous, not going into the kingdom because you're soft.
The implication is homosexuality. That's the implication of abusers themselves with mankind and effeminate.
And soft.
Right, that's effeminate is soft, yeah. But the other word, the word soft that we studied in Luke, is it's applied to clothing. And it's saying, what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Well, either way, but the point of it is that the idea of the all this word, we're going to study several words. We're going to study gorgeously, soft, delicately. All these are read as where the words that lead us towards seeing that you become soft as a disciple. You're not a disciple because you've been enfeebled by in your mind and in your body because of your own indulgence. You're catering to self. Now, a couple of months ago, I spoke at this talk show that was in a restaurant. Well, some of you know about it, but and it was mostly homosexuals that were in the audience. And the first question, because that's what it was about, questions from the audience, the first question was, what do you think about homosexuality? And I said, I don't think about it at all. That has nothing to do with anything. The point of it is, it has to do with the death of your flesh. To see yourself as dead. It doesn't matter whether you're homosexual or unisexual or trisexual or bisexual or whatever. That's not the point. The point is, are you giving in to your own flesh? Yeah, but it's talking about how we live. Do we live? Let's go to Revelation 17 or 18. Excuse me. Remember, we've talked many times in chapter 17. It's the doom of Babylon. Chapter 18, it's the destruction of Babylon. And each of these things has to be seen in each one of us. So now we're talking about the doom in chapter 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations, all people, have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you. Double unto her double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much hath she glorified herself, and lived deliciously or delicately, so much the more torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Now, this is true whether you're preaching the prosperity gospel, and you're living deliciously or delicately, you're in soft apparel, or whether you're living on Columbia and giving yourself over to your own self-indulgences. The point of it is, what went you out to see with John the Baptist? Man clothed in soft raiment. What went you out to see a man today preaching the gospel? The same kind of thing. It's the point of how we live as a disciple, or are we self-indulgent with our own little deals? There's no discipline. And the self-indulgence and living by cause and effect is what makes you nigh, if we did it, part of Babylon. Is that clear? That's why discipleship is about discipline, no matter how much Ronnie hates that word.
Oh, I'm loving it.
You loving it now?
I'm loving it.
Oh, okay. All right, back to Luke. Does that answer everybody's question? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. And this is, he's making fun of them. Can you understand that? That's what he's saying. He said, you know, everybody, every man wants to live this way. If you paid attention to your mind, you want to live softly and have an easy life. You want to not have any suffering or pain. You want every one of your prayers to be answered. Well, that's not about the just, that's not a disciple. You can call yourself a disciple till hell freezes over, but that has nothing to do with being a disciple. The disciple is John the Baptist. He's the type. Gorgeously here is in doxos. It means held in great esteem. Doxos. En doxos. E-N-D-O-X-O-S. Now we're going to see some of Paul's satire. Go to 1 Corinthians 4. Starting in verse 8. Now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to Christ, and to men. We are fools for Christ, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. No, the word honorable there is the same word in doxos that's translated gorgeously in Luke. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus have I begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I beseech you that you be followers of me. Instead of this other stuff, trying to be honorable, trying to be rich, trying to be blah, blah, blah. You understand?
Yeah. Gorgeous. Delicious.
Remember this. You got to test whatever things you think you want, whatever things that you... We cannot fear what the world fears. We cannot esteem what the world esteems. We cannot want what the world wants. And if anything that you esteem, the world esteems, you know you've been had.
But then if you see it, repent.
Better do it quickly.
All right. I agree.
What?
I had this very experience yesterday of being hot and miserable and having to do stuff, and I was thinking, damn, if I had some way of getting a lot.
Okay, let's see where this word gorgeously or in doxos or honorable. Let's go, it's first in, where it's not used as a satire. Let's go to Luke 13. Let's go while we're over that direction. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. This is where the same word is applied to the church, but in a different way. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ, in verse 25, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. And that's in doxos, that's words that's honorable or held in great esteem. A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen?
Yeah.
So that word there is used in a positive sense. And then in Luke 13, we'll see that a little bit differently. This is the word in doxos that in Luke 7 is translated gorgeously. Luke 13, verse 15. Then the Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath?" Well, that's anyway. Let's go to verse 17. We don't have to go through that. That's too much to explain. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, because he shamed them with his knowledge and his knowledge of the understanding of the Torah and their lack of it. And when he said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So again, it's applied to the church, it's applied to the disciples, or to church, to Christ, but it's used satirically in applying it to individual disciples. Now you are rich, we are despised, you are honorable. Now, if you've ever really thought about it, you cannot imagine how much effort you have spent your entire life, no matter whether you are homeless or not, in trying to be honorable. That's been an engine that's fed, because that's the essence of self-realization, trying to be honorable. Well, and it's goofy.
When I was homeless, I thought I was trying to survive.
You thought what?
When I was trying to survive.
Well, I promise you, part of your trying to survive was trying to be and put up a picture of being honorable. Trying to satisfy so that your relatives would have a good opinion of you. Just think about it.
Girl by bed now.
Yeah.
How so?
All right, let's go on. Back to Luke 7. The last thing is live delicately. Delicately, again, it's typhi, T-Y-P-H-E. Again, it means luxurious living, but it also means effeminate. And it's used in this tirade that in 2 Peter that he goes against. Let's go there. 2 Peter chapter 2. Studying the words that Jesus said, "What went you out to see?" And he's talking about John the Baptist, a man clothed in soft raiment, a man gorgeously appareled. And lived delicately. And then, but then he goes on to say, "Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in kings' courts." He's making fun of them.
I don't get his humor in check.
Live delicately. In 2 Peter, that same word is used in this tirade. Ronnie, one of these days I'm going to slap you upside the head, just on general principles.
I'm surprised you haven't done it already.
But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there also are false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Wherefore the angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Now the word riot there is living delicately. It's the same word, typhe, effeminate living, luxurious living. Now it doesn't matter what you do physically, This is all a mental attitude. You can be poor as a church mouse, but you can still live delicately in your mind because you're lusting after it. Everybody understand that? So the world, you may be crucified to the world, but the world isn't crucified unto you. There is nothing in the world that you should want, and there's nothing the world should want about you. That's what it means. Let's go to Galatians 6 and we'll quit.
That word, filthy conversation, like the world likes to be cuss words.
Well, a filthy conversation has nothing to do with saying filthy words. It has to do with the words being those that enhance in your own mind, you're trying to sell yourself.
Enhance your status or enhance your softness.
Where did I say go? Galatians. Galatians 6.
Galatians.
Verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. In other words, they want you to change so they don't have to suffer. Lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now that's why this is so critical. You can be crucified unto the world because you're screw up, but if you still desire the things of the world, then the world isn't crucified unto you, and vice versa. It's a two-way street. The world has to be crucified unto you, and you have to be crucified unto the world. Now this is why this mystery of the cross goes so deep, because there should be nothing about you that the world would desire. Otherwise, you are trying to make yourself acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption. That's what, unfortunately, much of the church in America is doing. We're trying to be rich and honorable and successful and champions. And they think that's what will attract people to Christ. The opposite is true. The world just thinks they're fools. So we have these great testimonies from superstars of the sports world, or actresses, or actors. That's going to bring people to Christ? No, it's not. Bring people to the false Christ. All right, anybody have any thoughts, responses to any of this?
Well, that's the last thing you said. It's like that, you know, they fill stadiums of people based on that gospel. And it's the Christ that people would like to be. And they don't have to die, they don't have to give up the cross, be discipled. They get words of the cliches.
Get involved in politics. I didn't hear what you said.
The world is filled with covetors.
Lusters.
Lust drive. Things will be different.
All right. Take a big guy.